The person you are trying to reach is not available. Please leave a message after the beep.
Just what kind of podcast is a Wake the Iron anyway?
Hey, thank you for choosing to spend some time with us here at Awake the Iron. These podcasts are also posted as videos on our website, so be sure to visit awaketheiron.com. While you're there, be sure to check out the Awake the Iron Academy. You'll never be bored again as you explore vast archives of videos, interviews, documents, lectures, humor, and more, covering an ever-increasing range of topics. Think of it like a self-guided, self-paced college, but without the mountains of debt. We would also love to hear from you, and you can do that two ways, either through the website contact form, or leave us a voice message by calling the Awake the Iron hotline. That's 601-654-IRON. All right. Welcome back for another segment of Awake the Iron. I'm your host, Kason Pratt. You might have noticed I'm going solo today, and this might just be kind of a short one. I was reflecting on a few things, and I was getting frustrated. And if you see my background, kind of sums it up. And the way this looks behind me, kind of looks like this shovel is through my head, if you're watching this. But it's kind of how I feel. And I'm just going to be kind of laid back, but I want to share two things with you. And I'm going to share my screen now. Okay, this is an article that I watched a show about. One of the shows and people I follow, they covered this. And I was like, man, that's weird. And it made me very angry. And it's a publication called The Atlantic. I guess it's super, super liberal, whatever. But it's called, the title of this is Let's Declare a Pandemic Amnesty. It says, let's focus on the future and fix the problems we still need to solve, by Emily Oster. She's a professor. I think she mentions it later. But so I'm gonna kind of read through this, and I just want to vent a little bit. It says, in April 2020, with nothing else to do, my family took an enormous number of hikes. We all wore cloth masks that I had made myself. We had a family hand signal, which the person in the front would use if someone was approaching on the trail and we needed to put on our masks. Once, when another child got too close to my then 4-year-old son on a bridge, he yelled at her, social distancing. These precautions were totally misguided. In April 2020, no one got the coronavirus from passing someone else hiking. Outdoor transmission was vanishingly rare. Our cloth masks made out of old bandanas wouldn't have done anything anyway. But the thing is, we didn't know. I'm going to pause right there. Emily, we did know. We knew. I knew. People like me tried to tell people, and we were told to shut up, and we were made to leave restaurants, and we were barred from entering stores, and we were called crazy. We were laughed at. You name it. We did know. And you know what? Shame on you. Shame on you for pretending like you didn't know. That is bullcrap. Now, there's a double side to it. There are some things you probably didn't know, but you could have known. You had the potential to know. And I'm not saying everybody needs to know everything. What I'm saying is, you, Emily, you chose not to listen. You chose not to listen. And if you're someone like Emily in this article, said, oh, well, we didn't know. That's bullcrap. You chose not to listen. And this is extremely aggravating to me. And a lot of this, a lot of things that CJ and I covered early on this podcast about how, well, we went all the way down to, if you check out episode 11, it's that even the viruses as accepted, nothing's really ever been proven. It's never been proven that a virus is a thing that makes you sick. So we've talked about all this. So to say, well, we didn't know, you know, that's bullcrap. And that's aggravating to me. Let's go back to the article. We'll read what she's proposing here. I've been reflecting on this lack of knowledge thanks to a class I'm teaching at Brown University on COVID. Great. She's a professor. We spent several lectures reliving the first year of the pandemic. Why would anyone want to relive that? I guess it's the classes about it. So, man, I want to forget that. I'll cut that out of my life. Discussing the many important choices we had to make under conditions of tremendous, tremendous uncertainty. It wasn't tremendously uncertain to me. I'm not saying I had all the answers, but I think I had my finger on the pulse about, hey, there's something going on here. There's more to it than just, oh, we need to stay healthy. It became very apparent early on. And even before it actually started, I remember late in 2019, I was like, oh boy, what are they going to make out of this? That something was afoot. Something was strange about this. And really what it comes down to is the way that, put aside for a second, in my view, the erroneous nature of what, you know, this pandemic was even, what it even was. Put that aside for a second. The way that it was handled, see, I don't even buy that it was what they say it was. But if we put that aside, say it was what they say it was, the way it was handled was just terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I knew early on, I'm not saying I'm, you know, I know everything, but you know, when you look through unveiled eyes at what's really going on, it was pretty obvious that the goal of the response to this was to exert power over executives. So, you know, governments and things like that were quote unquote taken over in a way by an agenda. Okay. Anyway, back to the article. Some of these choices turned out better than others. She's talking about the choices I made during that time. To take an example close to my own work, there's an emerging, if not universal, consensus that schools in the U.S. were closed for too long. The health risks of in-school spread were relatively low. I had several contacts with the superintendent of our local school district. So I'm going to be contacting you, Mr. Superintendent. I'm going to be contacting you, and I'm going to say, hey, you remember me? that little thorn in your side that wouldn't shut up about these things that now everyone's finding out, oh, well, it wasn't really that bad, and the masks didn't really do anything, and blah, 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 and all this. And people like this Emily person and probably the school district superintendent, oh, well, we just didn't know. Wrong. You chose to close your ears to information. I offered to send my information, and he was not interested. Not interested to see information. That is bizarre to me. If I was in a position where I have a say-so about the well-being of thousands of students, and someone came to me and said, hey, I have some important information that I mean, it's really like game-changer information. No, I don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear it. Yeah, and then now we learn all these truths that CJ and I and Karis on the show, we knew about all this stuff a long time ago. We aren't like geniuses or anything. I think we're just relatively perceptive and we're honest with ourselves. Oh, we didn't know. You chose not to listen. Shame on you for that. Back to the article, unfortunately. It says some of those schools were closed for too long. The health risk of in-school spread was low, whereas the cost to students' well-being and educational progress were high. The latest figures on learning loss are alarming. But in spring and summer 2020, we had only glimmers of information. Wrong. Reasonable people who cared about children and teachers, me, advocated on both sides of the reopening debate. Yeah, but that's true. Some did advocate for reopening. But they were shut down. Those people were shut down. Sit down and be quiet. Ran out of board meetings and things like that. Emails thrown away, like I'm sure many of mine were. Although I will give the superintendent credit. He did respond to me and said, I'm not interested in your info. This is what the CDC says, and that's all I'm going to look at. Another example, when the vaccines came out, we lacked definitive data on the relative efficacies of the Johnson & Johnson shot versus the mRNA options from Pfizer and Moderna. No, we didn't. We didn't lack any data. Well, maybe. But I knew that it was still in the test phase. It's still not even fully authorized. We're in December of 2022. Not authorized yet. Okay? And people say, yeah, it is. Look. And they show an article. Emergency use authorization. Not to mention, even if something like that is fully authorized, you still have a right to not, and you can still learn about it. Unbelievable. We lack definitive data on the efficacies. Yeah, well, we found out now that, forget which one it was, Pfizer or whatever, they said, oh, we didn't actually test to see if it helped stop spread at all. Oopsie, forgot to tell you. The mRNA vaccines have won out. But at the time, many people in public health were either neutral or expressed a Johnson & Johnson preference. This is stupid. This misstep wasn't nefarious. Oh, really? You sure about that? I got more on that, too. It was the result of uncertainty. Oh, well, if it's uncertain, why are you telling everybody they got to go get stuff that's uncertain? This lady is dumb. Obviously, some people intended to mislead and made wildly irresponsible claims. You mean people like me who were just presenting facts and data and saying, hey, let's just not rush into things. I was berated for it, just asking questions. You mean those people? What does she mean by irresponsible claims? Now, if there were people that were just making stuff up, yeah, that's probably going to happen. But people like me were treated like people making wildly irresponsible claims. And now it's like, oh, well, that was all right. And we probably shouldn't have done this and that, blah, blah, blah. But no apologies. No, not, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry I treated you like a moron. Remember when the public health community had to spend a lot of time and resources urging Americans not to inject themselves with bleach? That was bad. Misinformation was and remains a huge problem. But most errors are made by people who were working in earnest for the good of society. Oh, well, that's good. Hey, I bet there are some Nazis that claim that they were working. I want to read the exact words. Some Nazis were working in earnest for the good of the society. Oh, well, that's okay then that you sent thousands of people into ovens. That's all right. For the good of society. It's for the good of society. Hey, by the way, as a side note, Emily, pretty much every Nazi officer who was tried for war crimes, you know what their excuse was? I was just following orders. I was just following orders. Well, too stinking bad. You can disobey an order. Oh, imagine that. You can say, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. If it's wrong. It didn't fly too well, though, for those Nazi officers who tried for war crimes. Yeah, a lot of them were executed, by the way. So that didn't fly. Given the amount of uncertainty, there wasn't that much uncertainty for me, but okay, whatever. Again, I'm not saying I know everything. I'm just saying I was questioning. I was listening. We were like, hold on, slow down. This is too much power. This is a recipe for tyranny. We got to slow this thing down. Okay. Almost every position was taken on every topic. That's probably true. And on every topic, someone was eventually proved right. Probably true. And someone else was proved wrong. In some instances, the right people were right for the wrong reasons. In other instances, they had a prescient understanding of the available information. You mean the people who ended up being wrong, the people who were making fun of other people, who were presenting information that was contrary to the narrative, and were like, hey, like, I care about you and us. And this is like game-changing information I'm finding here. I would like to share it with you. No, I don't want to listen to that. You're stupid. And then now it's like, oh, yeah, you were right. But again, I don't really care about being right or wrong. I prayed to God daily that I was wrong. Please don't let this, what I believe is true, please don't let it be right, because it's just too awful. It's too awful. I prayed that. The people who got it right, for whatever reason, may want to gloat. Yeah, I do want to gloat, actually, a little bit. But not because I want to prop myself up. Because I want people like you, Emily, to learn a stinking lesson. Which is a professor at Brown. That professors from Brown University can be so stubborn to where they won't listen to any information they think they're above, right? I'm making some assumptions about her, but I know the type, and I can feel it in the language here. Those who got it wrong, like you, Emily, for whatever reason, may feel defensive and retrench into a position that doesn't accord with the facts. At least she is admitting at the beginning there that some of those protocols were not good. All of this gloating and defensiveness continues to gobble up a lot of social energy and to drive the culture wars, especially on the internet. These discussions are heated, unpleasant, ultimately unproductive in the face of so much uncertainty. Getting something right had a hefty element of luck. Not really. I wasn't even trying to be right or wrong. I was just looking at the evidence and going, well, like if you said the pen is blue, but it was really red, I'm like, well, I'm looking at the pen and it's red. So these discussions are heated, unpleasant. In the face of so much uncertainty, getting something right had a hefty element of luck. Sorry, I repeated that. And similarly, getting something wrong wasn't a moral failing. True. But in my view, it kind of is if you slam the door on the face of a person trying to help you and us. That is a failure. Treating pandemic choices as a scorecard on which some people racked up more points than others is preventing us from moving forward. Yeah, because you would have gotten zero in that game. And we're not keeping points. I'm trying to keep my freedom. Well, maybe I never even had it in the first place, but I want to be free. We have to put these fights aside and declare a pandemic amnesty. Wrong. We will hold people accountable for what they did. And you, Emily, are not an innocent bystander. You, sir, the school board superintendent, you are not an innocent bystander. You knowingly, by not knowing because you slammed the door in people's face who had information for you, you knowingly put children needlessly in harm's way. We're coming for you. Not violently. We're coming for your job. It's my mission to disrupt you because of this. I will never forget this, ever. You know, God tells me I should forgive. And right now, it doesn't feel like I can, but I guess I will, and I should, and I'll try. But I'll never forget it. And I'm going to make sure you don't either. And people like this Emily person and anyone listening or watching who didn't listen because of hard-headedness. Well, you know, nah, you're wrong. The news said this. The governor said this. Doesn't make it true. We can put these fights aside, declare a pandemic amnesty. No. We're going to hold people accountable for what they did. We'll get into something else real quick here in just a sec. We can leave out the willful purveyors of actual misinformation while forgiving the hard calls that people had no choice but to make with imperfect knowledge. Yeah, I don't agree. If there was a lot going on and people that just decided to go along with the authorities like little puppets, shame on you. If you're in a position of authority, you have to get all of the information you can get. And if all of your information only comes from one place, you're not doing it. Gosh. LA County closed its beaches in the summer of 2020. Yeah, the people responsible for that need to be held accountable. ex post facto. Oh, if you're Professor Brown, you can use words like ex post facto. Sorry for my condescension. I'm ticked. This makes no more sense than my family's masked hiking trips. Yeah, why'd you do that?
I didn't know any better.
Wrong. You chose not to listen. But we need to learn from our mistakes. That's true. And let them go. In a way, that's true. I'm not letting it go. Sorry. We need to forgive the attacks, too. Because I thought schools should reopen and argued that kids as a group were not at high risk. I was called a teacher killer and a genocidaire. So she's trying to say that she was trying to, you know, fight the good fight because she made one comment. It wasn't pleasant, but feelings were high. I certainly don't need to dissect and rehash that time for the rest of my days. You mean like teaching a class where you relive COVID? Moving on is crucial now because the pandemic created many problems that we still need to solve. Yeah, we're going to get into one right now that has nothing to do with this. I don't know if I can really read the rest of this. Student test scores have shown a decline, blah, blah, blah. Many people have neglected their health care over the past several years. Notably, routine vaccination rates for children. Huh. Wonder why that is. Maybe because people who did listen started realizing, hey, these vaccines, I don't know, they're kind of suspect. Rather than debating the role that messaging about COVID vaccines had in this decline, we need to put all our energy into bringing these rates back up. By all means, let's start pumping vaccines into everybody again. Yippee! Pediatricians and public health officials will need to work together. And blah, 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 blah. Oh, brother. Okay, well, thanks for sticking with me through that. There's one other thing that kind of goes along with that. We're talking about the after effects. So every so often, you know, I'll get a message, an email from senators. I'm on their emailing list. And we have a super liberal. And if you're liberal, fine, whatever. Just this guy has a horrible track record when it comes to individual liberty. And that's where I align with. I don't care if you have an R or a D or an element OP next to your name. I don't care. At all. If you're for protecting individual liberty at all cost, then you're my guy or my gal. Anyway, so Sherrod Brown sent this email just yesterday, I think it was. Friend! No, we're not friends, buddy. I've had many, many, many communications with you. You know we're not friends. Anyway, it's a generic thing. Let me read this. No parent should have to drive for hours checking pharmacy after pharmacy to find a basic but crucial medicine for a sick child. And no child should have to wait trying to battle a simple infection that turns into something much worse because they couldn't get the medicine they need. But it's happening in Ohio and across the country right now. Oh no, what is this? We're at the beginning of cold and flu season. And both families and prescribers can't find amoxicillin. As all parents know, amoxicillin is the frontline antibiotic used to treat childhood, blah, blah, blah. And there's a shortage of the liquid version of the drug. Let me skip down. That's why I'm proposing blah, 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 a bunch of crap. We need to know why there isn't enough of this common, life-saving drug and offer solutions to fix the problem. Oh, government swoops down to save the day once again. The pandemic, here we go. This is the meat of it. The pandemic revealed gaping holes and vulnerabilities in our supply chains. Hold the phone. The pandemic revealed, huh? Let's hold the phone here, Senator Sherrod Brown. Do you mean that government policies instituted during the quote unquote pandemic. Do you mean those? Do you mean the mandatory lockdowns that you supported? Is having a ripple effect in later years where we're not able to get stuff as quickly or as easily. You mean that? You caused that. You caused that. Perhaps none more critical than our supply, medical supply chain. Right now, there is only one licensed manufacturer of amoxicillin in the U.S. Oh, no. If you would have stopped for 2 seconds when the freaking governor is like, oh, we're going to shut everything down in Ohio. If you would have stopped, Senator Brown, if you would have stopped for 2 seconds and say, whoa, hey, a minute there, bud. You shut stuff down, we're not going to be able to get stuff. But you didn't. You didn't stick up for me. You caused this. The pandemic revealed gaping holes. Okay, right now there is only one manufacturer. This current crisis highlights again the need for my Bipartisan Prepare Act. Oh, you're going to come save the day. Where were you at a couple years ago when it was, oh, we're going to close the entire country, wreck the whole economy because someone has a cough? And I can just hear people right now, well, people died. Maybe. But there was a lot of chicanery going on. So let's hear about this Bipartisan Prepare Act, which would create an emergency domestic supply of key ingredients used in essential generic medicines. It would start building a more resilient supply chain here in the U.S. Oh, wow. Sherrod Brown to the rescue. I think he does wear a cape. There's no reason we should be relying on countries like China or India for nearly 90% of these critical pharmaceutical ingredients. You know, and he'll claim to always be for, you know, oh, I'm trying to bring things back to America and blah, blah, blah. No, you're not. You're a statist. And that's that. We need to learn the lessons of COVID-19. Well, that's funny. That Emily lady just said the same thing. We need to learn the lessons from COVID-19. Yeah. The things that we've known for hundreds of years. Stop giving government power. Especially power that's not in the law. Make sure we are better prepared for future emergencies. Think there might be some future emergencies? Manufactured emergencies? They sure do make for expedited expansions in government power, don't they? Those darn emergencies. We can't forget what's at the center of all this. Oh, here we go. What's at the center? Keeping Americans safe and healthy, especially children and grandchildren. Aw, tear. Because you care so much about grandma. Did you care about grandchildren and children when you advocated for everyone to not see each other for Thanksgiving? Did you care about that? Did you care about grandparents and grandchildren when you did nothing when people were barred from seeing their dying grandmas in nursing homes and hospitals? Where were you at on that, Senator Brown? I'm curious. Yeah. Hey, Senator Brown, what do you think about the fact that I don't even know what the number's up to now. 50,000, 100,000 people have died from getting the COVID vaccine. And it's probably more than that, but if you check the VAERS reporting, you were advocating for people to get that, you know. I wonder how many grandmas died from getting that. These people, we're coming after you. We're coming after your jobs. We need to get rid of these people, like right now. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, guys. The nerve of these people. Hey, I'm sorry. Not even I'm sorry. Hey, I was a part of wrecking your country. And now I have a solution for all these problems that are happening. I wonder why these are happening. Oh my gosh. You're the problem. Sheesh. Anyway, that's all I had for today. It's been on my mind for a while. I'm not trying to insult anybody. You know, people say, well, you know, as a Christian, we need to be like Jesus. Well, guess what Jesus did? He tore through the temple courts, wrecking the place and chasing people with whips when it was justified. I'm justified in this. I believe that. We're coming for you. And we're not going to forget. I will never forget that you, anyone this applies to, in authority, you in authority, I will never forget that you perpetrated child abuse by requiring children to cover their faces needlessly. I spoke up. I said we don't need to do this. I proposed the idea that the mental and psychological effect would far outweigh any sniffle or cough someone might get. Didn't want to hear it. And now it's everyone's mental state is wrecked. Babies didn't get to develop properly because they couldn't see mommy's face. People keeping their grandchildren from their grandparents. That's vile, y'all. I'm sorry. People keeping grandmas and grandpas secluded in hospital or nursing home, or, you know, it's like, could you wheel grandma outside? The bed is like a hospital bed. It can be, can you just wheel her outside for 2 seconds so grandbaby can say goodbye because she's about to die? No. I'm not going to forget. And we're coming for you. All right? Getting heated, getting fired up. So I'm going to use a quote from our quotes game. Shoot, I forget who said it. Maybe in editing I'll put up who said it. I'm going to end with this. I'd rather have questions that can't be answered than answers that can't be questioned. Take a deep breath. Until next time, we'll see you.